Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The kids messed up and confessed.
You're blaming a 13-year-old kid?
All
right, let me say this.
You're blaming a 13-year-old kid?
Okay, not to lie.
Let me say this.
That's one thing a kid knows is not to lie or when they lie.
Wait a minute. To be in a hot situation like that in a police station, sitting in a room you ain't never sat in, and listen to some grown motherfuckers tell you what you did, how you did it, for hours, man. That's
okay.
That's the sad.
It's like mental torture.
You ain't been on that side. You got to be on that side to understand that type of shit.
Okay, but then 2 days later, once my parents come, I get some attorneys or whatever. Mm-hmm. When I get some attorneys,
by that time
I'm telling them. But I ain't never heard them
old,
say, we lied. This
at
this
14
is not...
years old, the police couldn't fuck with me unless my mama was in there. I stayed in Las Madrinas. I don't know. I know that mother. I'm 50-something years old, yeah. And I know Las Madrinas' address by heart. 7285 Quill Drive, down in California.
LP.
I know it by heart. Every time I messed up and went in there, that's where they summed me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because. Man, they got a...
My point.
Wait a minute.
You knew that.
Because
so
it's cool.
So you don't think these 14-year-olds didn't know that?
If you don't know, then you're still going.
Well, you just said one of them was a little slow.
You see what I'm
so
saying?
So he absolutely
was 16.
No, he didn't know anything.
Just hearing all of that, but he wasn't that slow.
The way they designed the system, man, and the way some of these police get down, Reg, is wrong. And then they sending people to jail for nothing. There's a lot of people getting out of jail.
And that's by other good police.
But wait a minute. Shouldn't it also be a good thing, on the flip side, if y'all wrongly convicted me, shouldn't I be paid for doing 30 years in prison?
Oh, they got, I mean, like one of, like,
shouldn't this officer
Corey said, Corey Wise said, you can't pay me no amount of money for the time that I had to do and what I had to go through, being in Rikers Island and all of that. He says no money. But yeah, they just try.
But all of that they went through, shouldn't they have to face the same shit?
No, I mean,
so the law can do what they want to do and not be accountable.
If I'm creating and lying and falsifying information,
they should go to jail.
But if I'm sitting here and I'm doing what I think is my job, by keep badgering, woo, 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 badgering James, badgering, and then you finally go and say, okay, that's just like, is it rape? If I'm trying to get some pussy from this chick, and she keep telling me, no, 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 no. And I keep saying, come on, baby, come on, baby, come on, baby, come on, baby, come on, baby.
I don't think the woman was in any shape.
This was early, late 90s.
And the victim, her name is Trisha Melly. Melly.
Did they get a lineup on these kids, and she said that's all of that's them?
I don't think
that's the way it went down, because she was beat.
No, they Donald Trump and all them, they were putting out shit. Donald Trump was involved in
this. Donald Trump back in the day went on television and said whoever did this are animals.
Yeah, he did an ad on it. But my point is, the prosecutor, that's why she's getting catched in so much hell. She pretty much told, go through Harlem or one of those areas and pick up everybody, all black. They mean this was a high profile thing, and
they were ready to get. They were ready to get,
and they exactly.
And they were just satisfied with arresting someone, not just arresting who was really guilty of it.
And that's the cool thing about being a DA. If, you know they're not guilty, but you fight hard to send them to prison.
But eventually, if they wouldn't have this. And I understand what y'all saying about the age and the peer pressure and stuff, but if they wouldn't have eventually, unfortunately, copped out to it, then they would have never been convicted.
Now, I would take that if this was a 19 and up, 25-year-old cats. But we talking about 14-year-old young men, 116, child him as an adult. Now, just think going to Rikers Island at 16. You pretty much pussy.
Yeah.
You done ruined my life.
Oh, sure.
This lady, those police officers, ruined them kids.
Absolutely.
Took their life.
Ruined them.
And then
blaming police for something. I can see if they created. I'm one of those.
I believe they did create it.
It had to be created.
They didn't create it.
One of the things that they did was they wrote statements and made them sign it, too. That's not fair.
I got to watch this.
Well, don't watch the show. Read up on it. Because documentaries, I mean, I don't watch Unsolved, and I see how shit from Unsolved.
No,
I know the real one happened to Unsolved, and I know how.
We can continue this one because I really want to see. I mean, Lord have mercy, man.
Because I know Hollywood will fuck up a
every guy that ever went to jail, every guy that been sitting in that room, back in the days when they used to give you a cigarette, you want some coffee, you want some chips, and then right after that, if you ain't talking, you got your ass whooped in there. You got your ass whooped in there. And they can do it how they want to do it because motherfuckers like us don't know the law and ain't finna talk. And ain't finna say shit. You only got that maybe 20-30% of officers that come in there, that's right. Like your dad, that come in there and say, I know you fucked up. Just admit you fucked up. Let's get it over with. Don't come in there with no bullshit. If you didn't do it, don't cop to a goddamn thing you didn't do. That's how Reggie you said. And he walk out. You don't see Reggie no motherfucking more. You'll be, man, call Reg when you was in jail. Call Reg. Tell Reg I want to talk to him. Nah, I done told you what I had to tell you, and that's it.
And unfortunately, this is the bad thing that used to happen to my dad and stuff, because everybody used to always holler, we want to talk to Reggie, we want to talk to Reggie, we want to talk to Reggie. And no assholes, and you know, so we had problems too. Oh, he got arrested for molesting his daughter yesterday. He ain't no cop no more. You know, we had to go through shit like that, and motherfuckers, cops would do that. But
Ryan never went through that.
Yeah, they say stupid shit like that, you know, to try to.
But, I mean, you know, I think everybody, if you hold civilians accountable for crimes, for murder, whatever, just because I have a badge and I kill somebody, now I should be a civilian. You should go to jail for this shit.
If you
don't give me no free pass,
I agree with you. Wait a minute, let me clear this up, but I don't want to come across with that. If that's how the situation went down, I totally agree with y'all. It's just if I'm pressuring you and doing my job because I'm seeing this victim, this lady, that then all of this done happened to, and I'm picturing her as my sister, my mother, and all of that, I'm going to do everything in my power to try to get you to turn.
I watch.
So that means you have to assume that the people in this room are guilty. You got to assume they're guilty.
That in my mind, that you said in this box.
You should try to find out. The goal is to find out if they're guilty.
Oh, either way.
But the way that the interrogation seems to have went off is they already assumed right off the bat that these four black boys and the one Puerto Rican kid were guilty from the beginning.
And then sometimes.
But they committed. They copped out.
And most of America does not understand how do five people that are not guilty of this crime end up in prison. And to me, it's.
I tell you, they copped out to it.
I wouldn't say they copped out. They were pressured to make statements that were untrue just to satisfy the detective's questions.
And they didn't have to say no more. They get at you the DA, and then the DA runs with
once
that.
They copped out. But that's what, at the beginning of this podcast, what did I say? Shut the fuck up. If y'all don't learn anything else, I wish I could get somebody high profile. I wish Johnny Cochran was still alive.
Everybody
go out to him
ain't made
to tell
break.
Y'all. Shut the fuck up. If y'all don't learn anything else from me anymore, you get in the box, shut the fuck up, explain to the cop, if you was in my position.
We talking about 14-year-old kids.
I don't care how old you are. Shut up.
They're not solid like that.
You
got to
be taught that, actually.
Yeah,
I teach my kids that.
Yeah.
But you're not built.
And even my kids, Well, my kid was in a high school situation where they told him write what happened.
Yeah.
And he actually did. After I taught him, never write what happened. Yeah. And I said, why did you write what happened? And they said, well, the guy told me that if I don't write what happened, they're going to call school police and make it a police matter. But if I write what happened, we'll just keep it internal within the school. Manipulation game. Yeah. You know, it was a little arson that a trash can was on fire.
On fire. Yeah.
So I told my son, you fell for the okie doke.
Yeah. But still, he
you know.
But at that point, he's still afraid.
And he was 15.
Still human.
Yeah. He was 15
still
years old.
Still human. And he was afraid. The consequences. That's what these kids don't understand today. The consequences. If they knew that they were going to prison for 20 years, if they opened their mouth, maybe they would have been reluctant.
Yeah.
But they don't know that.
Not that they thought they were going home.
They just want to go home.
And you cannot give promises.
Saying,
here's another
I'm saying
thing.
Right or wrong. Yes, you can. You can trick people. But you can.
You can trick people. Yeah, you can. You can do what's called ruses. It's been supported by the Supreme Court. But you can't offer false promises.
Yeah, but you can ruse people.
You can ruse people.
James told me y'all did it.
But you can't say, if you tell me the truth, what happened.
You know what? They still use that right now in the day. And a lot of these cats on the street don't understand that.
Yeah.
Well, James just told me y'all just shot at him. Yeah. If somebody told me you shot at the cat, all it have to take is one name.
Man, it's so bad now. The street code so bad.
They
got something called I Got Down First now.
No, but the thing is, all these guys run around here.
Get down first. Who gonna get down first?
A lot of us don't know the laws, but then here we go. You know, you quick to blame somebody else because the police told you whoop the whoop this and that happened. The police said this, so you go home. This is how they destroy half of the real thug cats out there. Is if you got a dirty name, you ain't no good. If what you say, Red? You say, yeah. I thought you said something. No. A lot of cats have been disrespected, has been your homie said y'all shot whoop the whoop up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that part,
you know what I'm saying? Your homies is the one that told me, and he said you had a whoop the whoop. Y'all already know what kind of gun was used in the homicide. So now, okay, the homie said, now the first thing we do is get on the phone. Rick told these motherfuckers whoop whoop. This is information they knew already. Just like Reggie said at the beginning, shut the fuck up. If the police don't have nothing to write or type, they can't take the DA nothing but this right here, a blank sheet of paper. Now the DA got to fucking work.
I've sat and watched 48. I've watched 48 hours probably once or twice a day, you know, when I'm bored, not doing anything.
And they still doing the cookies and coffee.
And I swear, I sit and see guys. I done seen so many cases made where the cops
didn't know. Right out of there.
Where they just told on themselves. Just, I'd be like,
yeah, but those cops are on their best behavior on First 48.
They gotta be,
yeah, because it's a TV show.
They ain't strong on them.
Yeah, they're not strong on them.
Guys in positions like that, homicide cops in positions like that.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos,
and I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia, starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are generally the cream of the crops.
I have no problem with the way those detectives on First 48 do their job.
And they usually are cream of the cops.
These detectives on this case were completely different.
Like your gang cops and your guys in the soft uniforms, not the ones in the suits and all of that, but the ones in the, those are little,
Here's a great technique that cops do. They'll be sitting across from you asking, and then they'll do this one. They'll come over to you.
Come on, man. You got a family.
Yeah.
Think about your family. They come sit.
Grab
right,
you on your shoulder.
Yeah, they man, come move over and sit right next to you. It's all psychological. It's a game, you know. But here's the problem that I have with something you said. You said they cop to it. Mm-hmm. How can you cop to something that you know nothing about?
I think I changed the word after I said cop to was forced or something. It was another.
You can't
word
cop
I
to something you know nothing about.
Yeah, correct. But they said they admitted to something.
They repeated the stuff that the detectives were saying. But those detectives have to be smart enough to say, you know what, this guy's actually just repeating what we're just saying.
But when you're trying to make a case and all of that, a high-profile case like that, I can see the pressure.
And they wanted the people off of their back, so they gave them four little kids, five kids.
But the good thing about it, most people don't know, is what happened was Corey Wise met up with Mathis Rees in prison, or in jail, and that was a good thing because he was the only one that went to adult prison, and Mathis Rees was in an adult prison, and somehow he convinced him to tell the truth, and they ran his DNA and found out that his DNA matched the victims. And that's how they were found not guilty.
Wow.
Yeah.
There should be some accountability though on those detectives. And the prosecutor.
Well, the prosecutor, she catching hell right
now. Yeah, but that's nothing. Yeah. I mean, she already wrote 30 books.
But she
books.
Didn't lie. She just put out what she was told.
Actually,
she
wasn't sitting you can there. Say her whole case was a lie.
But she didn't lie. She reported. She reported what. That's just like me with
to this. To be in a position such
DAs
as.
DAs reject cases all the time.
You have to have morals. But you have to say.
She should have rejected that
she
case.
She didn't know. I don't
she
think.
She should have said.
According to her,
right.
She didn't know.
Of course she's going to say she didn't know.
Yeah, according to that, she just said, hey, this is what the law enforcement gave me.
I know right
this
now.
This is what I had to deal
for
with.
The fact that.
There got to be some reason that she done did something wrong. Because she catching a lot of hell.
Work with the DA.
So I got to investigate more why she's. Oh, they all work together. Detectives and the DA work together.
You give me this one,
but they don't want them lying. They don't generally want that.
I think high cases like that. I think the FBI should
deal with
that. Yeah, because the police.
Why? So what makes y'all think the FBI is more better than most local cops?
Well, I think they got more
resource. That's all. They just got more time. They
don't have as
much time they have more time to investigate, where street cops, they have a small department, they just have to keep working cases, you know, something new happening every day, where the FBI and a U.S. attorney just get a sign on a case and they run with that for 2 years. That's the only difference.
So the homicide, the police officers that was on this case were homicide, right?
No, they were sex crimes units. You know,
the best of that, you know, big department.
Let me read something that the prosecutor of the case, Linda Farstein, said recently. She said that this TV show depicts me in a fictionalized version of events in a grossly and maliciously inaccurate manner.
Well, I'm sure we know TV show. I say that about Unsolved. They Greg Cady's made me, and I'm still cool with him
But what do you expect for her to say?
Yeah.
Ava DuVernay, the producer of the show, actually said she reached out to the prosecutor,
to be an advisor,
to bring her in on the show to get her side of the story. And she said that the prosecutor, Miss Linda Farstein, had all of these requests about having creative control, being able to tell it the way she wanted to tell it. And they said, no. This is our story. This is actually these guys' story. Yeah. We want to bring you in for your input. Yeah. And she didn't want any part to do with the show.
Yeah.
Now, why is that?
Well, obviously, because
they have different opinions on the way. She was depicted like I just said earlier, where go pick up all black guys, go pick up everybody, and then she was like, "Wait a minute, I didn't tell them to go pick up everybody involved in the case."
That is fucked up.
You know,
just like you can't look at shows
versus documentaries.
Yeah, I'd rather see the documentary because I know there's going to be a little bit of some creative license used to tell the four part. Yeah.
To make the
Netflix
flow.
Series, yeah. But from what I understand, Ava is a stickler for the facts, the producer. Mm-hmm. And what these guys are saying in some recent interviews are pretty accurate.
Victims. Yeah. They're victims, I mean.
Meaning what? That they can't be trusted or?
No, they're victims. I'm saying so they're gonna tell their truth. I believe what they're saying now. I mean,
we have no choice because it's already been, it's factually known. The rapist is a whole nother person.
Yeah.
And these five teenagers at the time had nothing to do with it.
Why were y'all stupid enough, naive enough?
It's the interrogation. It's the interrogation tactics that I'm critical of. On First 48, I have no problem with the way we see those detectives, whether it's in, what cities do they do? They
Dallas,
do like St. Louis, Dallas. I don't have any criticism.
Those
are professional homicide detectives. They ask the right questions. They put enough pressure on there. What these detectives did in this case was like a thousand times what you see on First 48. You know, no one needs to get beat up in an interrogation room.
I agree. No one. Needs to
get, how many people get their ass kicked on First 48?
Well, they got cameras rolling.
I know, but how many?
How many get at the end of pursuits now? When you know that helicopter, the news helicopter, flying. It's not
necessary. Yeah. You don't need to beat up someone during an interrogation.
With the body cam, they should have everybody that goes in that room, it should be videotaped. How they interrogate that person.
Even the CIA says certain interrogations that they've done in the past, ineffective. Yeah. If you're waterboarding someone, they're going to say whatever you want
to. To stop, to get them to stop.
Yeah, have you ever felt what it's like? I actually got waterboarded once because I wanted to feel what it was like. Mm. It is torture. Yeah. Somebody's pouring water on the top of my head and they want me to say where Muhammad is at. I'm telling Muhammad is around the corner, up the street, up the hill, down the street.
It actually stops you because you're breathing.
So the CIA actually determined that waterboarding people yielded false information. So you can't tell me that aggressive interrogation techniques is going to yield false information sometimes too. Right?
I say right.
All right, Reggie's quiet right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the CIA probably knows more about interrogation than any other government body on the planet.
The CIA?
Yeah, Central Intelligence Agency.
No, I know very well.
The ones that actually use waterboarding.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of CIA experts say it yields false information. So my question is, do you understand why an Arab in Saudi Arabia that's being waterboarded in the basement of a safe house that the CIA is running is going to tell them whatever they want to hear?
Exactly.
It's the same concept.
So they all innocent now, huh?
You say they was innocent.
I'm talking about people that got waterboard.
We found out that most of the people in Guantanamo Bay had nothing to do with terrorism. And they were sitting in Guantanamo Bay for
had
about...
nothing to do with terrorism?
Nothing to do with terrorism.
Nothing at all?
Most of them. I would say that over 75% of them had nothing to do with... were never linked to any terrorist activity. Yeah, they got a few of them.
Yeah.
But they swept up a whole lot. It's just like what this prosecutor said. There's a line, like you were mentioning, go to Harlem... go to Uptown and get every black kid and bring them in for questioning. Yeah. You know,
that's what she, no, that's what the movie depicts.
That's what the movie depicts. Yeah.
Okay. She's denying that. You know.
Of course, she's gonna deny. Yeah. She's gonna deny everything.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got a lot to lose. She's got her publishing deals.
Well, she loses.
She's on a bunch of boards that don't want her on there anymore. Yeah, and there's some sponsorships. All right, so I wanted to bring up one more thing that I thought was kind of interesting. I think the article was a little misleading, but there's an article that said the Crips trademark the Marathon Continues, right? The Crips are trademarking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I looked it up, and what it is Nipsey Hussle's brother is trademarking the word, the phrase, the Marathon Continues. But within the trademark, it actually has the words Crips and Bloods in it. So I think the media kind of got a misunderstanding of what maybe Nipsey's brother was trying to do. But it also brings up an interesting idea about what gangs can do. So, James, imagine if you or one of your homeboys decided, hey, let's incorporate or trademark the phrase Mob Piru. And let's start encouraging our youth from the neighborhood to start creating businesses under the banner Mob Piru. Now, Mob Piru is a corporation. And now we got a car wash under Mob Piru. We got a hamburger stand under Mob Piru. Because that's really what Nipsey's brother's doing. He's doing a t-shirt.
That's basically being smart.
It is. And I think that all gangs should start moving in this direction. In fact, gang members have already been moving in this direction for the last 15, 20 years. Being more entrepreneurial, investing their money, buying property. But usually it's illicit money that's generated through
gang
drugs.
Are drug dealers.
Yeah. It's usually like drug dealer money being poured into legitimate enterprises.
Yeah.
But now we can be at a point where, like Black Sam, Nipsey's brother, he could actually take legitimate money and invest it into something and just keep flipping, keep flipping, keep flipping, as they say on the streets in the drug game. And I'm just surprised that more gangs do not become corporations.
Well, you don't have too many gangs out there that got leaders that's intelligent like that, that's really on the business aspect of it. Not back then. You weren't looking at it like that. Nowadays, you can get your phone and Google anything and you can come up with something like this. Back then, no one would ever think, let's use our hood to benefit in a righteous way.
I saw the brother from Westside Piru, Wacko. He's making Piru shirts.
That's now.
Putting the P on it.
That's now.
And now people might look at that as, oh, that's gangbanging.
Yeah.
But it's really the culture, right? It's the culture. It's the neighborhood. It's the community. And why not make some shirts and build a business off of it, whether it says Piru or whatever.
But what I'm saying, if you thought about it 20 years ago, just think where you'll be now. You know what I'm saying? It's catchy, but none of us thought like this or thinking or was business minded, should I say.
No, the brothers 20 years ago were business minded,
like,
but it was more about crack cocaine.
Yeah,
how do I cut this up?
I'm talking about business.
But it's taking that same mentality into something else.
2019. Now it's totally different. The technology is different. You know, we didn't have a phone where we can do all this different shit with. Now, man, this is a great idea because a lot of things gonna come with this. You know, you do anything that got Nipsey on it, they pretty own the rights to it. So
it's gonna be interesting to see how long this plays out. How long Lauren London and her daughter or her son sit back and let the family continue to
eat off
of Nipsey.
Yeah.
On this patent, it says they're going to create shirts, T-shirts, sweaters, beanies, hats, sweatsuits, varsity jackets, pants, socks, footwear. I mean, anybody can do that for their neighborhood and community.
Well, he was already doing with Crenshaw.
Yeah.
anybody can do that for their neighborhood. But like
he
I said,
was selling
who's there
Crenshaw,
to know?
For $150.
Alex, we get together and go to every different hood, and we put a plan together and tell them, this is what we can do for your neighborhood. We can get shirts, hats, Benny. We'll create everything. We'll create everything and give y'all 20% of whatever we make.
Now y'all glorifying gangs and
no,
stuff.
No, but
like.
It's glorifying the neighborhood, the community. It's more about pride, where you grew up.
Open up an organization where that money can go into that'll help that neighborhood.
Gunshot victims is what I call it.
Gunshot victims?
Future gunshot victims. So now I know you from the mob, and you claiming the mob, and I'm from Santana Block.
No, you got gunshot victims wearing this. You got everybody
yeah.
wearing it.
You think Different that? Type of shit. You think that Wacko shirts, Wacko from Westside Piru making those Piru shirts, that's a dangerous thing?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
With just a pee on it?
Yeah. Because now I know where you're from. I know what you represent.
Everyone already knows where he's from.
Southport.
That's him, but I ain't talking about him. But talk about the person that's wearing it.
I got a Piru. I'm not a Piru, and I got one of them shirts.
Okay.
I got the Hoover shirt. They got a thing called Fig Side. I got a Hoover shirt.
Go over there and do gang documentaries.
I got a shirt
and stuff like that. But when I got a little, when I'm going to school and got my little 14, 15 year old son, I bet you won't let your son wear that motherfucking shirt anywhere.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
You got a point, but I'm talking about for adults.
Oh,
I'm talking about for adults.
But then who's going to eventually want it? I don't know. That's my opinion.
I mean, it is.
I like the Crenshaw, the marathon thing, and all of that because it's not doing gang members and gang. I mean, a gang territories. I didn't mean to say gang members. Gang territories, meaning you support. It's like the MOB sign. Everybody putting on the MOB pinky ring and all of that stuff now. That would have been a great trademark.
But the Crenshaw is a gang thing, though.
Yeah. Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In fact, let me tell you a story.
That was one of the first games, you know, maybe you'll say. But that's not what Nipsey was promoting. He was really promoting Crenshaw and Slauson.
Well, that's Rolling 60s Crip neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, but he would, but we didn't look at it. We looked at it as Crenshaw Boulevard or Avenue, whichever one.
Well, maybe
is.
You did, because
I didn't look at it.
I wore the Crenshaw shirt once when I was going to interview some Five Deuce Hoovers.
Okay.
When I got to the little shop that they had, they asked me, "Can you take
off.
That shirt off?" Yeah. And I was like, "Why?" They said, "Because that's neighborhood Crip."
Exactly.
They they gave me a Fig Side Hoover shirt. So I literally took the Crenshaw shirt off and put the Fig Side shirt off that they gave me. So,
but you said it wouldn't be a problem. You just told me a few minutes ago
it wasn't
be
a problem.
Problem.
I mean, it wasn't like they were going to beat my ass or nothing.
They knew who you were. They knew you weren't a Crenshaw.
They just felt
dude.
Just like I'm sure if I had on a Piru shirt and I walked over into Santana Block neighborhood, they're gonna be like, "You gotta really wear that over here."
Because
they're not gonna
beat
my
who
ass.
You are. But let my son, your son, or somebody like that come wearing over there. They you claiming that, huh? And you over here?
Well, you got some that's silly like that, and yeah, you're gonna have a problem wearing it. You're going to have a problem wearing. But, I mean, you can avoid
I understand
all of that.
What y'all saying, but I'm just saying glorifying.
Yeah.
It's going to be future gunshot. Boom. Go to the Laker game. And
this is
I'm
a
waiting
good
outside.
Idea right here.
But
waiting
Piru is a street just like Compton is.
All right.
But I know.
Or like Crenshaw, you meant.
I'm sorry. Just like Crenshaw.
Yeah. I got you.
I always see these Compton hats with the old English right across
that
the top.
Be, yeah.
Who makes those hats?
Yeah.
The swap meet.
The swap meet,
You remember the 90220 t-shirts, and everybody started coming out with the zip codes and all that. Beverly Hills, didn't they make it
that's
first?
That's where 662 come from, off of all that shit.
Well, the phone book,
doing all that shit.
But, I remember those t-shirts wasn't big.
But
the 902, what was they called? I
90210.
Think the, we did that, but it was really Beverly Hills, I think, that started it.
Now, what if someone trademarked Compton and put it on hats and shirts and started selling it? You think somebody might feel a certain kind
of
way?
But they can. Ain't nobody. I know the swap meet make those hats.
Yeah. But I don't think that the Koreans at the swap meet trademarked it.
No, I doubt it. They not.
Well, shit, Ice Cube don't get the credit that he should get for the Raiders and the White Sox. And he was the first one to start wearing all him and Eazy-E and NAA. Because, then the NFL said, "Well, hold up." And they started trademarking them. Could you imagine how much money Ice Cube and NAA and all of them lost?
Would have had
if they would have.
Off the Raiders.
Yeah, or went to them and said, "Hey, this is what we're going to create. We want a percentage. And we're going to help market y'all stuff."
Well,
man.
Been a billionaire a long time ago.
Man.
Well, I think there's a way that gangs could try to incorporate themselves, produce product that maybe not as gang related as, the P for Piru is very obvious. That's.
I mean, to say that, if to get gangs to be really on a more positive note, to create something that can go anywhere and everywhere, let's not have the gang mentality to put it out there like that on some gang shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Which the marathon
continues. Like, wacko shit is basically this is some hood shit. We on some hood shit, so hood niggas gonna buy it.
But I think people all over the world go to the website. They want a Piru shirt. White folks in middle America want a Piru shirt.
But still, everybody ain't supposed to have
Nipsey
that.
Nipsey wasn't even trying to sell that Crenshaw stuff to people in the hood. He was mainly doing it for out-of-towners and people to come and visit the shop. And mainly most of their sales was done what? On the internet.
Yes.
So
I think the Marathon Continue slogan is very neutral.
Yeah.
But
I love all of that. I just, they must have a strong family because the baby mamas are being awfully quiet.
Well,
what's your name got the baby?
She got it, but there's another baby mama out there.
Yeah, I think they should be more quiet, more discreet about their shit.
That generally don't happen. No.
I know, I can tell. Yeah. It's they all over the place. Yeah.
Well, the first baby mama was upset because she lost her little court hearing trying to get this custody of
Nipsey's sister got
it. Yeah. Yeah, Nipsey's family has the kid.
Was she a crackhead or something?
I don't know. I don't know what she.
It's a lot of other shit we don't. Got to
be something.
On
okay,
that, but
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know any specifics about her.
We'll research it.
All I know is she.
There got to be some issues.
The judge definitely agreed with Nip's family that you are not getting the kid.
Well, she's a druggie then.
You know,
that's the only time.
I don't know, but they tried to interview her while she was walking out the court, and she didn't have anything to say.
Did she look like a crackhead?
No, she looked pretty good. She looked okay. And then I saw some photos of her on her Instagram page. She looked fine, but I was told that she went to her Instagram and deleted a bunch of stuff that made her look bad.
Oh, okay.
So that maybe she can get her kid back, but she didn't get the kid back.
She have another kid already, right?
Don't know.
Yeah, I heard something about she have another kid. But okay.
But I heard that the Marathon store was back ordered like thousands and thousands of orders.
Man. I heard it made like $10 million and since his death at one point.
Everybody and their mama. Yeah. Trying to get that.
It was major advertisement.
He got shoes. He got shirts. He got everything out there.
Well, I think that all these different neighborhoods throughout Los Angeles should start thinking more business-minded and perhaps come up with more neutral terms, but also it represents your neighborhood, like Rosecrans.
Where are you from?
I saw G-Weed from Campanella Park once wearing... A Rosecrans shirt. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean you Piru. Rosecrans goes through.
But see, Rosecrans can go anywhere.
Yeah.
But that's cool. But what I'm saying is, man, you just gotta really like think. I really don't have.
I don't want no crib area that Rosecrans runs through.
Santana Block. Rosecrans kind of hits one side of Santana Block.
Yeah, that's true.
Rosecrans goes straight on up along.
I know where it goes. I'm just saying, I don't know no. So,
but Rosecrans.
Well, you're talking about Gardena and all
but
that.
But yeah, mostly it is Piru's on Rosecrans.
Yeah, but once you get Santana, but Santana mainly Alameda or Santa Fe or Rose Street. Willow Street.
Santa Fe.
Yeah, Santa Fe mainly.
But they're right on the south side of Rosecrans.
Right. No, you're right. Willow,
But I don't think they represent Rosecrans.
No, they don't.
Everybody from town
That was my point. Everybody went down Rosecrans. But Dime Hood.
Would you say Rosecrans is a more neutral term that could be used for...
No, that's a good point. Just like they did Crenshaw, that would be a good one. Fuck blood. That's a good one. You came up with a good one.
I just think, man... Being a gangbanger and trying to get away and separate yourself from being a gangbanger, you should not think or try to keep the gangbanger mentality. If you moved on, let's move on. Now let's be more creative on what I'm trying to do and how I want to do it. That's the only way you can just truly get away from the gangbanging thing.
But did Nipsey have the gangbanging mentality still?
Yeah. That'll never go nowhere, but I took it somewhere else. His whole focus went on some hood shit because he could have been a big old NH on everything he had, but he didn't do it like that. He chose something like we just said, Crenshaw.
But what did he say every time he greeted you? This is Neighborhood Nip. Every greeting was Neighborhood Nip.
And who ain't getting down like that? But I'm not with it, but this is who I am.
No, I got no problem with it, representing that stuff.
And, man, I guarantee you, nobody else had a problem with Nip saying that. But what I'm saying is just to get away from the gangbanger mentality and be creative with what you're really trying to do and you really want to take it somewhere, let's not think like that. Let's get outside of that box and let's go and let's create something that I think everybody will want without having to second guess putting it on or what color it is or whatever.
It'd be nice, but gangbanging ain't going to be eradicated.
Yeah, I don't think gangs are going anywhere anytime soon. They've been in America for over 150 years. They're probably going to be here for as long as society exists, we're going to have gangs.
And it's sad. It's a sad ass.
But we can move gangs into a different direction, though. We can push them over here where killings drop, conflict drops, assaults drop. You're never going to have zero... conflict, zero shooting, zero killings. But if you got more people incorporating, thinking about, oh, let me make these shirts or let me press these, I was going to say CDs, that's getting played out, but let me work on the music, let me do this, let me do that, you're going to have less people out there saying, let me go shoot this dude. Let me go dump on this guy.
No, every day you got a new blood or you got a new crib or you got a new something, want to be something. Everybody wants a name at the beginning. If you stop these kids... these 14, 15-year-old kids and give them something productive, then you run out of OGs. Because if you got these 19-year-old cats and you say, okay, the 19 years old, they're going to do this. They shit going to play out. But if I'm stopping everything from there on down and teaching them and showing them there's a different way out. You don't have to be a gangbanger. You can be this, you can be that. You can go to the military, you can do this. If we get them kids, then it'll wear itself out.
Well, you're talking about prevention.
I'm talking about, yeah. Teaching our kids. Don't every black man has a son. Every black man should be accountable for his son. I'm proud to be a father of a king. Treat your son such as. Teach him shit. I didn't have the privilege of having my father teach me how to bait a hook with a worm. I didn't have the privilege of my father throwing a football with me. It takes you somewhere else. I had a grandfather, though, that taught me good. You know what I'm saying? But you still take that somewhere else. So you need more than conversation. Just because he taught me everything don't mean I'm finna be everything. So, I mean, we got to step our game up as fathers. You know what I'm saying? Just because you're at home with him and you say good morning, son, every day don't mean you being a good father. You got to teach him. You got to show him. I got to show you how to treat this woman. I got to show you how to groom yourself. I got to show you how to do this. Beating up women don't do nothing but take away from your manhood. Just, I mean, you got to teach them a lot of type of shit, a lot of shit.
Well, I agree. In an ideal world, all of that's definitely for the betterment of a kid.
Well, if a daddy, if fathers step up from day one, if they step up, your child got a better chance of not just going out there and saying, because there's so much out here to show your son, this is what happens if you want to take this route. There's so much out there. So be a teacher to your child. You know what I'm saying? Be a teacher as well as a father. And your son will get it. Your son will understand. We didn't have that. But all you have to do is do it now. And man, you'll save your kid.
Well, you know, we should definitely talk about that topic next week in more in depth about the role moms have and the role that men have in terms of raising our kids in Los Angeles, Compton, Long Beach, Watts, and these streets, because a lot of it has to do with family.
Exactly.
Why would these guys go in the streets? And then also, I want everybody to watch this show. It's four episodes. I don't know if you guys watched all four.
I ain't watched damn one.
It's four episodes, and maybe we could talk specifically about... I would actually recommend listening to some interviews of these guys, too, so you can get some factual stuff, because I don't know how accurate the show is. But the show is When They See Us, four episodes on Netflix, and I just watched the one episode, and I was just completely appalled at the interrogation techniques that these detectives were using. Great. But we're going to wrap it up right there now. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Gangster Chronicles, and stay tuned for another great episode next week. Thanks for watching. Good morning, good night, good evening, wherever you may be listening from. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Out of here.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.